Greetings in the precious name of Jesus Christ and welcome to Ancient Paths, the radio broadcast of Remnant Christian Assembly, where Elder Darren Hood is the pastor. Jeremiah 6:16 says, "Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Join us as Pastor Hood takes us down the old path. And now, Pastor Hood.
Greetings. Welcome to another Ancient Paths broadcast. This is Pastor Darren Hood of Remnant Christian Assembly, and glad you're able to join us on today. And today, for the first time in a while, we're actually presenting a fresh new broadcast. We're not going back into our archives. We're not going to share from a previous service today. We're just coming from the hip and presenting what thus saith the Lord on the spot on today. But we thank God for this opportunity to come before you again. We thank God for the opportunity to present the Word of God. And we thank God for this opportunity to prove ourselves in Him. Amen. As the Bible says, that people who speak the Word of God, when we speak, we are tried. Hallelujah. The Lord is trying the hearts of those that present the Word of God at the time that they're presenting the Word of God. It doesn't have to be in a broadcast. It doesn't have to be in a formal setting. It can even be when you're just sitting at the coffee house talking to a friend about the Word of God, talking about the integrity of God, talking about the things of God. Anytime we are discussing the Word of God, anytime we are presenting what thus saith the Lord, even when we're just sharing a testimony, our heart is being tried. Will we tell the truth? Will we play politics? Will we try to do things that appease or entertain or satisfy the hearts and the passions of those that are listening to us? Or do we love the person that's listening to us enough to say what thus saith the Lord, regardless how they will respond? We'll look at today as a segue, as we're going to present and share some messages from our recent discipleship boot camp, which we do annually. I'm going to share some messages from our ministers and elders. But for today, since we just came out of several series that we shared, and we just finished sharing the service from back in 2004, actually, where we covered the topic of revisiting Sodom, where a lot of people don't even realize that technically, or from a spiritual standpoint, we still have access to Sodom and Gomorrah, not physically, but because of the elements that are alive. So we're just going to go there, talk about that a little bit, and whatever else the Lord lays on our heart. But first and foremost, again, just got to share issues of examining ourselves with regard to where our heart is when we're speaking and sharing the things of God. There are a lot of people out there who are in the business of man-pleasing. And the Bible says that if we please men, that we should not be the servants of God. So that is a very, very challenging standard that all of us are responsible for adhering to, all of us that are called by the name of the Lord, that is. And we need to consider ourselves today. Are you a man pleaser? When you're at work and something comes up that challenges the integrity of God and challenges your stance, do you shy away? Do you have a tendency to sit back and not want to ruffle feathers? I'm reminded of a situation where I was at work and there was a discussion that was going on, and people were introducing themselves in this little lunch setting. And I was very shocked to see someone that I thought had integrity also. I was very shocked to see the individual when it was that person's time to introduce themselves. I was very shocked to see the individual. Several people, let me back up for a moment. Several people in this setting wanted to express the fact that they liked church, that they liked going to church, that they were quote unquote church people. And when this other person that to my knowledge had a more authentic and more authoritative testimony, when that person's turn came around, all they said was, "I like church." Folks, there is a difference between liking church and loving Jesus. Big difference. Hallelujah. Do you know that the devil will come into the presence of God and does come into the actual full-fledged presence of God, not just down here in church or things of that nature when you're in prayer. He actually goes into the presence of God and shows absolutely no integrity. We cannot have these badges of honor that do not line up with the word and the will of God. The devil goes to church. The devil goes into the presence of God. And if a person says, I love church, big difference. Because if you love Jesus, you'll do what he says. If you love Jesus, his word means something. If you love Jesus, his purpose means something. But if you love church, you'll let Jesus go by the wayside. And after observing that individual for some time and observing the willingness to engage in man-pleasing, and I was duped by it as well because I thought the person had a testimony. Here you have an individual who loves, quote-unquote, loves church, but they don't love God. And as soon as something comes down from the throne that calls that individual out, that individual backs off and goes and runs for cover and shows their true colors. Do you remember, listeners, Ancient Paths audience, do you remember the passage of scripture where the Lord Jesus was approached by what the Bible described as a rich young ruler? And as the rich young ruler comes to Jesus, he says, Master, what good thing might I do to inherit eternal life? Now, Jesus gets into the conversation and he mentions all these scriptures. And the young man responds and he says, all of these things have I kept from my youth up. And Jesus basically presented what we know as the Ten Commandments to him. And he said, all these things have I kept from my youth up. And one rendition of the, or account, I should say, of this incident says that he was seeking to justify himself. So a lot of times people are seeking to justify themselves, such as the person that I mentioned to you, the I love church person, but Jesus comes back. The Bible says that he looked at the young man and he loved him. And he said, he looked at the young man and he said, one thing thou lackest. Now here's somebody that thought they had it all together. Here's somebody that thought that they had been keeping the word of God. That actually, they had been keeping the word of God. But what we don't realize is, many of us, that God is calling for something. Fortunately, it's recorded for us now. The concept that Jesus responded to this young man with is basically recorded in scripture. Now, but he was so caught up in what was written, he wasn't really catching, the integrity of God as a whole. He wasn't really recognizing God's integrity. You can keep commandments and still withhold part of yourself from him. And God is calling for us to lay everything on the line. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him first deny himself, which is what this rich young ruler would not do. Jesus told him, go and sell all you have, go and give all that to the poor, and then come and follow me. The young man kept the word that he knew, but now that Messiah is on the scene, he was not willing to take the next step. And there's a lot of people, they'll go to church, they'll give tithes, all those things that a lot of crooked pastors always like to boast about, the tithes and silly things like that, church membership. But when God really lays it on the line, how will you respond? How will you respond? The Bible says that the young man went away sad, for he had great possessions. When God asked him to deny himself, basically, take up his cross and follow him, he didn't want to do that. Thou shalt not kill? Oh, I can handle that. Thou shalt not bear false witness? Hey, no problem. I can handle that. But technically, the young man lied, and a lot of people don't catch that. He said, all these commandments have I kept from my youth up. Jesus went back to the beginning, basically, and he talked about, thou shalt love thy Lord, what he was illustrating. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, and all thy strength. And he coupled that with, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Those two concepts were presented to the rich young ruler. And because he didn't understand it, and he was into a written word, but didn't really have an understanding of what that written word was trying to convey to him, such as priorities, amen, such as laying down one's life, such as making sure to honor God above everything about you. He missed those concepts. Did he really keep those commandments from his youth up? He wasn't keeping it up during that conversation, was he? So, but what we want to make sure to illustrate, we want to share that, but what we want to illustrate first and foremost is, do you see what Jesus did? He did not restrain himself from telling the truth because of how this young man was going to respond. Remember who's talking. We have God manifest in the flesh, who though he is walking around on earth as a man, is still upholding everything by the word of his power. He left heaven and stayed in heaven. Amen, somebody. Hallelujah. One of the disciples said, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll suffice us. It'll satisfy us. He said, have I been with you so long, Philip, and you don't know who I am? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show you the Father? Likewise, there are people that have been around Jesus and still don't know who he is. Hallelujah. And then when you tell them, because you don't engage in man-pleasing, because you're not trying to tickle ears, because you're not trying to be a politician and get everybody on your side, if you're willing to tell the truth, you're blessing them. Whether they respond properly or not, you are blessing those individuals, and we need to make sure that we do not engage in man-pleasing today. Amen, somebody? Are you a man-pleaser? Hallelujah. Are you a man-pleaser? Are you someone that is exalts your being received by others over them being received by God? The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. Hallelujah. For the peacemakers shall be called the children of God. And there are people that quote that verse, but they do not, just like the rich young ruler, they don't have an understanding. And since they don't have an understanding, the peace they're trying to make, unbeknownst to them, is violating God's integrity the whole time. When Jesus looked at that rich young ruler and loved him and told him what he needed to know, when Jesus endured the temptation to be a man pleaser, yes, he was tempted in all points like we are, yet he was without sin. When he endured that, he actually facilitated the love of God in the life of that rich young ruler. Are you willing to do that today? Jesus wasn't concerned about being received by anyone. He demonstrated that on many, many, many occasions. And somebody, under the sound of my voice, I mean, all of us are accountable to this. We all need to make sure that we're not man pleasers. But someone under the sound of my voice needs to hear this big time. God is not in the man pleasing business. God is not in the ear tickling business. God is not in the into exalting our agendas, our goals, and our mindsets today. He has a mission. He wants us to fulfill that mission. We're even saved according to his purpose. We do ministry according to his purpose. Contrary to popular belief, it's not about finding the purpose, all this purpose-driven this and purpose-driven that. That stuff's all written. We don't need those silly books where these drunken pastors are running, or drunken leaders are running around trying to sell people on a concept instead of helping people to understand what's already written, which takes us back to the Sodom and Gomorrah issue as I sort of jump topics here on the fly. Going back to Jeremiah 23, which is where we were discussing last week, or what we presented, I should say, the concept of revisiting Sodom. Let's take a look at what Jeremiah said again here. He said, mine heart within me, Jeremiah 23:9, mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man and like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. Do you hear the heart of Jeremiah today? Jeremiah is letting us know that he had a broken heart. And you know, when in a day and time such as where Jeremiah dwelt and the things that he saw, it causes a broken heart. It results in a broken heart. And the word broken, one of the definitions, it refers to a shattering. Hallelujah. It refers to a shattered heart or emotion, one of the vines actually goes on to define. And one of the definitions that I came across had to do with being injured. That just in seeing what we see going on in the midst of God's people, such as the purpose-driven merchandising that takes place, people forgot that the Bible says that these people with feigned words, they will make merchandise of you. People make up stories. That's what feigned words means in the Greek. They make up stories and concepts, and they present them to God's people. And the whole purpose of it is to thrust us away from the Lord. And some of the people that engage in this purpose-driven foolishness actually are told to put their Bibles down for 30 or 40 days. Can't remember the number. But put your Bible down, and let's just look at this book. Anybody that tells you to put down your Bible is a devil. Anybody, especially when they get rich behind it too. Come on, somebody. We got to be wiser than this. We got to be smarter than this. And we need to put ourselves in a position from an integrity standpoint where we're like Jeremiah. His heart was broken because of who? The prophets. Because of what the preachers were doing. Hallelujah, somebody. Do you see what the preachers are doing out here? We haven't heard about Eddie Long for a while and his situation. That almost all but disappeared. You just don't hear anything about it. And I got in trouble with folks because I'm not a man pleaser. I got in trouble in many instances where I was discussing what was going on with Eddie Long. And people didn't like what was being said. And I'll tell you what I said, just like I'll tell them. And shame on preachers out there that won't be transparent too. But when the Eddie Long situation was discussed on the news about the alleged, and yes, alleged homosexual activity, I told several folks, it doesn't matter whether Eddie Long is guilty or not. It does not matter whether he's guilty of that or not, because the man has been doing crazy things leading up to this. We have a witness who was went to an Eddie Long minister's conference where Eddie Long pulled up in a limousine, gets out of the limousine, and there's a whole cavalcade actually. He gets out of the limousine, puts his arms out, just puts his arm out at his sides, and that was a signal for someone to come and put a coat on him. Anybody behaving like that, it lets you know that there's an exaltation problem. It lets you know that there is a servitude problem. It lets you know that there's an arrogance problem. It lets you know that there's a pride problem. This man, I heard him before, he interrupts himself when he teaches, telling everybody, you're not going to get this, you're not going to get this, you're not going to get this, and then says absolutely nothing. When you go to his website, you'd be hard-pressed to find anything about Jesus Christ at all on this man's website, but you will find plenty talking about what committees he's on, what boards he's on, what he's doing in the community, but there is nothing lifting up the name of Jesus. So this man was crooked. He has robes that have diamonds and some other kind of thing woven into them. Did not the Bible say that these people love to go in long robes? They love the salutations in the marketplace. In other words, that salutations in the marketplace, you have a literal component of it and you have a figurative component. The figurative component of loving greetings in the marketplace has to do with being highly regarded in the community. So the point where they go into the marketplace and everybody, hey, there's Pastor so-and-so. There's Rabbi so-and-so. And so the Pharisees love that. Eddie Long is a Pharisee. Okay, but here's the thing. This is part of what we're talking about here. Jeremiah says, my heart within me is broken because of the prophets. There are a lot of people out here who see, they witness what the prophets, and prophet is nothing but a preacher. So don't get hyper-spiritual. Prophet just means preacher. It's not somebody who's going, putting their hand into their head and talking about a check coming in the mail. Those people are false prophets anyway. But there are people who witness what these prophets are doing, what these preachers and leaders are doing, and it doesn't bother them. How can Jeremiah's heart be broken and your heart or my heart not be broken? Does not that speak to the state of our heart? My heart within me is broken, Jeremiah said, because of the prophets. All my bones shake, he said. I'm like a drunken man and like a man whom wine hath overcome. I am just in a really bad way because of what these people are doing. And he goes on to explain. Let's go and read further. He says, for the land, still Jeremiah talking, the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing, hallelujah, the land mourneth. And by the way, say this too, what he's saying here is reflective of God's heart as well. So this is going beyond Jeremiah. He goes on to say, thus saith the Lord, as we get into this a little bit more before we read that. But I want people to understand, Jeremiah's sentiment and God's sentiment go together. So if you see these preachers, and it doesn't bother you that they're raking money from the people, the offering lines don't bother you. The Juanita Bynum and her $500 prayer kits didn't bother you. The fact that these people write books like crazy and the books say absolutely nothing and they're getting rich, it should bother you. When you get a woman with a buzz cut and a severely masculine persona who boasts about how she dominated and dogged her husband for years and then still carries the persona, and he's walking around looking like a dog with the tail between his legs, which lets you know that he's still actually operating under that. And yes, I am talking about Joyce Meyer and her husband. That should make you sick. Your heart should be broken. Your bones should be shaking. Hallelujah. Because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. Herein lies the problem. People aren't sick because of what they see, because they are not embracing God's word. If we embrace God's word, it would bother us. Again, now let's read on. For the land is full of adulterers. And that could be spiritual and literal adulterers. People that are not honoring their marriages, and people not honoring their espousal unto God, their engagement unto God. They just treat him any old kind of way. The land is full of adulterers, not just two or three, full. For because of swearing, the land mourneth. And that's not talking about cursing. It's talking about the issue of people not being people of their word. People who say they're going to do one thing and do another. People who say they're going to do something and don't do it. The land mourneth, he says. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. This is a really sad state. And the church today is in a sad state. And we need to have a proper, we have our own personal level of integrity, which actually impacts how we observe things and how we see things. Then we've got a corporate level of integrity. At any time a person with integrity looks out and sees a lack of integrity, it's supposed to bother you. Consider Lot. It's talking about Sodom. The Bible says that Lot, his righteous soul, was vexed from day to day in beholding the deeds of the wicked. Again, here you see somebody that sees what's going on, knows that it's not right, and it bothered him internally. It resulted in an internal state of turmoil. And you're hard-pressed to find the state of turmoil amongst God's people today. Even though the wilderness is dried up, folks don't care. They're blessed of the Lord and highly favored. The courses are evil and the land is full of adulterers. And folks are like, that's okay. We're blessed because God said we're blessed. No matter what happens, we're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. No, 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 no. What are the circumstances? What does the fruit say? And Jeremiah is presenting fruit here. Hallelujah. He says, verse 11, for both prophet and priest are profane. And the word for lets you know that he's still explaining somebody. Prophet and priest are profane. Prophet and priest have no integrity. Prophet and priest have no respect of God. Prophet and priest are desecrated. Semantic domains gives definition to this world. They're polluted. They're defiled. They have a state of moral impurity. That's why some of them cuss over the pulpit. That's why they wear earrings. That's why they're surrounded with wicked people. That's why they're uplifting preachers that they should be sick when they see what these people are doing. Hallelujah. Prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore, their ways shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. That's why those people never stand, because everything around them is slippery. It's trying to run on oil. These people, the Bible says that the righteous man falls seven times and he rises again. But the wicked falls into mischief. One of the reasons that the wicked fall, and that fall does, is getting into a destructive mode, whereas the other one is talking about an overtaking and a fault. Not something that the righteous wants to do, but we do. And when we do it, as Paul said, that which I would not do, that's what I do. Who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? The righteous person, when we do something that's displeasing to God, we really don't want to be there, and we're trying to find a way out. So we stand up again. But the wicked, they go into a state of destruction, and they're not interested in getting up again, and their ways, as it said here, are slippery, basically. Hallelujah. He said, I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal. They caused my people to err. I have also seen in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They are committing adultery. They walk in lies. A lot of preachers out there are walking in lies. Shouldn't make us sick today, but many of us, it does not. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers. So they actually make wicked people feel better. They help wicked people get where they're trying to go. Folks, we're almost out of time. How's your heart stand today? Hallelujah. Is your heart broken like Jeremiah? Let's strive to submit to God so we can reflect God's attitude within our attitude. When we do this, you can have victory on an individual level, and you can be a blessing to others and help them have victory as well. Until next week, this is Pastor Hood saying, God bless you.
We trust and pray that you've been edified, enriched, and enlightened through the broadcast. Did you miss any other broadcast, or would you just like to hear it again? Feel free to visit radio.remnant.us to access the broadcast archives. For those in Metro Detroit, we cordially invite you to attend services at Remnant Christian Assembly. Services are held at 21800 West 10 Mile Road in Southfield, Michigan, on the corner of West 10 Mile and Lasser, catacorner from Southfield High School. Have you been blessed by the broadcast and would like to support financially? Would you like to contact us? Support and correspondence can be sent to Ancient Paths, P.O. Box 2706, Southfield, Michigan, 48037. You may also send an email to radio@remnant.us. Until next time, for Pastor Hood and the Remnant Christian Assembly family, this is Tamika McGee saying, God loves you. Respond to his love today by dwelling in the ancient paths. God bless you.